The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can take us on the go. Use the rewind feature. Download that Odyssey app if you haven't already. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Friday morning, November 22nd, 2024. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville.
Hello, everybody. Happy Friday.
Good morning. And Eric Bickle.
Hey, good morning.
Chase and Bishop, of course, off. All the way until December 2nd, he sent a text. I tweeted it out. You can follow me at Junks Radio. He sent the text of his thermostat. I didn't ask for it. Mm-hmm. He was like, look at what my room is at. 60 degrees.
That's crazy. It's just crazy. I mean, that's miserable. That's torture. But he likes it, I guess.
Football Friday, we'll be talking a lot about the Commanders on the show today. Commanders, of course, trying to get back on the winning track, set up to do so because they play a Cowboys team that has been reeling. Cowboys team that is with their backup quarterback, Cooper Rush, no Dak Prescott. Cowboys team that's lost five in a row. So we'll talk about that. But maybe last night's game scares you a little bit as it pertains to Washington, because the Steelers were coming off a win against the Ravens. Had a game on the road against the Browns, who were 2-8.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers were 8-2, but a division game. Teams know each other. Game was in the snow, at least for a large portion of the game. And the Browns had a lead. Steelers came back to take the lead. And then with about 3 minutes left, Jameis Winston led them on a game-winning drive.
Yeah, Nick Chubb, you know, basically little more than a year after he shreds his knee on national TV, finds the end zone twice. A good story for him. I mean, he hasn't had the best comeback year at this point. I think he had 20 carries for 59 last night, but hey, two critical touchdowns. It was just enough to beat the Steelers, and that now kind of throws the door open for the Ravens, who have a big one against the Chargers. I believe that's a Monday Night Football game. Valdez, you can correct me if I'm wrong. But yeah, that's a bad loss for the Steelers with the Ravens gaining ground behind them if they can get a win over the Chargers.
But maybe it worries Commanders fans because it's a similar setup that Washington has. Now, Washington's at home, but Pittsburgh, big favorite against Cleveland, a team that is going nowhere, that has a head coach who's on the hot seat, that has a backup quarterback in Jameis Winston. And credit Jameis Winston, because in that fourth quarter, he fumbled the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He threw a bad interception, but then he gets the ball back after Russell Wilson had looked to have a game-winning drive, and Jameis made some plays, made some nice throws. I thought it was an interesting decision. I don't know if you were up watching the game. So there was a point where it was 3rd and 2. The Cleveland Browns were already in field goal position, but it's snowing. So it would have been roughly a 40-yard field goal, I would say. And there was a 5-yard penalty. And it took a long time. I don't know what was going on. It took a long time. And then Tomlin opted to enforce the penalty. I think he wanted to push the field goal kicker further back. So it's 3rd and 7 now instead of 4th and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Could have taken 4th and 2. Opted to push it to 3rd and 7, and then Jameis made a nice throw first down,
yeah.
And then they moved down and scored.
It's always a risk, but I don't hate the logic.
Well, my argument there as far as like relating that to the Commanders, Jameis Winston's much more talented than Cooper Rush could ever dream of being. He's a former number one overall pick. He's had his ups and downs. I mean, now he's like a high-level backup and a guy you can lean on as a starter when your starter goes down. I think Jameis Winston is infinitely more talented than Cooper Rush. Cooper Rush doesn't scare me at all.
He might be, but as Joe Witt said in his press conference yesterday, he coached with Cooper Rush, mm-hmm. and he knows that he can play winning football. And as JP said, I think he's 5-2 as a starter.
I think he can play winning football if he has a really stout top 10, top 5-ish defense to complement him. That's not the case at this point. If you're relying on Cooper Rush to carry you with a bad defense, I think that's going to wind up with a lot
Micah.
Of L's.
Listen, I hope we win. I'm picking us to win, but I'm nervous. I don't think it's going to be easy, the game that you think it's going to be.
I mean, I don't see like a 20-point blowout, but I think this is a team that the Commanders, they should handle by 7 or 8 points.
They should. Let's hope.
I mean, that's kind of the way I see it playing out.
I watched Kingsbury's presser, too, and I mean, it clearly, Jaden had a different practice routine these last 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt. And, you know, he didn't want to go into it, but they're back to a normal routine, which, you know, he thinks that it should help the offense all the way around.
Right.
Getting their reps in, working on their timing, getting their footwork down. Clearly, these last 3 or 4 weeks, they've been nursing him and limiting him in practice.
I feel like this is a game where Jaden could break a big one. Like a 35 or 40 yard run. I feel like that's just kind of doing push ups over in the corner.
He hasn't done anything with his legs the last few weeks, so it'd be nice to see.
One. I think they'll establish a solid running attack with both Eckler and Robinson early. They'll get them to bite on the RPO, and then he'll be around one of the edges for a big one.
The good news is the offensive line is back. They're intact. All of the running backs are back. They're mm-hmm. intact. I believe the receiving core, right? We don't have anybody that's out there. I mean, offensively, we're pretty well intact. So it's time to get back to doing what you're doing. They asked Cliff about, you know, this notion of a second half swoon,
mm-hmm.
and he was at least feigning some ignorance of it. He was like, "Well, you'd have to show me what years you're talking about. I don't even know." He goes, "We're not going to change anything. We're just going to do what we do. We're not going to run triple option." So we'll see. See if he can bust that narrative wide open.
He pled ignorance.
Somewhat.
I watched a little of it.
Somewhat. He was just like, I don't know.
He's so understated.
Yeah.
The way that he talks. He's got a really deep voice.
He's a really chill dude. I think
the game plan is pretty simple. The Cowboys give up 152 yards per game on the ground.
Just go back and watch.
Joe Mixon you know, had a field day against the Dallas Cowboys defense, mostly untouched. Like that first long touchdown that he ran, I think it was the first one. He's not even touched on that. I saw a stat from ESPN Stats and Info about how many times he ran without contact. Mm-hmm. It was absurd. So I think you run right at him. And then you run right at him some more, and then you do it again.
Like if the Commanders don't come out of this game with 145, 150-ish rushing yards, I would consider that a disappointment.
Hmm.
Like that should be what the box score from the rushing side looks like.
I don't care where it comes from. I just want points. I want to drive, get points.
Mm-hmm.
Drive, get points.
So last night's game made me change my opinion. I know I put up something at Junks Radio on Twitter about, do you need style points? Do you need to win convincingly, especially coming off the last two? And I think I would have thought, yes, if you kind of want to win convincingly so you feel better about it, right? But then you see the Steelers lose. Man, you just want to win.
But that was a little bit different because the adverse weather conditions played a role. They're on the road. Like, this is a home game. Commanders have had extra rest because they played on Thursday.
So do you need style points? You need them to win convincingly.
The offense needs to look efficient, and I've said it probably 10 times. Score 28-ish points. Like, you can't limp in against the Cowboys and try to win a 17-13 squeaker. That's good if you get the win, but you're going to have serious reservations and questions about the offense through the rest of the season if they can't put up points against this wounded Dallas defense.
Well, obviously, one point of emphasis, and Cliff talked about it in his presser, they have to get the ball to Terry a lot earlier.
Absolutely.
A lot more often. And as Witt said in his presser, defensively, you still have to account for Micah Parsons. Cliff even mentioned it, too. He's one of a handful of game wreckers who can single-handedly wreck a game, wreck an offense. And they got to stop the run on defense. You know, they can do it for three quarters of a game, but you got to do it through four quarters.
Yeah, I mean,
the Cowboys can't run the football, though.
Rico Dowdle comes in and has 75 yards and a touchdown at halftime, and it's a ball game, then you're going to be worried about the outcome. But I just don't see him posing that sort of threat.
Yeah,
even against a subpar rushing defense.
I'm bringing it back to last night's game. I get what you're saying, Case. It makes sense. On paper, Washington should roll. That's why they're a big favorite. That was the case for last night's game. And if you look at last night's game, I don't believe the Pittsburgh Steelers punted one time. So they actually should have won the game pretty convincingly based on the fact.
They punted once.
Oh, they did end up having. Yeah, that's right. It was right at the end of the game. At the end of in the fourth quarter, they had a punt.
They attempted three field goals and punted once.
Right. But sometimes things happen. You know, turnovers. I feel like the Steelers and they came back to take the lead. And once they take that lead, you're like, okay.
Well, they are also facing maybe the best defensive player in football when he's on in Myles Garrett, who completely wrecked the game for the Steelers with three sacks, three tackles for loss. I mean, he was playing like a demon. He hit Russell Wilson three times. Like, he made a huge impact in the game.
Yeah, but not in the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, when the Cleveland Browns took a big lead, I think it was 18-6, then the Steelers stormed back. So when you only have one punt in the game, when you outgain your opponent 368-304, you usually win the game. My point is, it's a reminder that division games can be tighter. And in this case, a team that was 8-2 lost to a team that was 2-8.
Oh, I totally agree with you. Totally agree.
So it changed my opinion on style points versus just get a win. Like, the Steelers, I'm sure Steelers fans were like, man, we're rolling. We just beat the Ravens. Let's beat up on the Browns. But now you just take a dub any way you can get it.
I need style points. I mean, a win is nice. The win is the priority one. Priority one is the win.
Mm-hmm.
You'll take it if it's 4-2, if there's a bunch of safeties. You're not going to love it, but if this offense is what we thought it was early in the season, and Jaden's back to 100%, I want to see 28-35 points put up at home.
If you want to feel really good,
a defense that's giving up that amount in their current losing
streak. If you want to feel like you are serious contenders in the NFC and that you have a chance to do more than just show up in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't see an offense that sputters, that punts a bunch of times and settles for Austin Seibert or Zane Gonzalez field goals.
I don't want to do another week of evaluating Jaden and everybody hyping up.
Because there's
going to
be a lot
Bo
of
Nix.
Yeah. If he has a subpar game, if he throws for 140 and throws a pick,
I'm going to hear
rushes for 20 yards.
How great Bo Nix and Drake May are.
Yeah, you're going to definitely start hearing that drumbeat.
Right.
Yeah.
Which,
so
you know, I think they're fine. But
that's another reason why we need a big offensive performance.
I can't do it.
And you know what? It doesn't even have to be Jaden with gaudy passing numbers. Just be crisp in leading the offense. If B-Rob plunges in twice for a touchdown, if Eckler scores a touchdown, and that's how you're racking up the points, it's fine.
Right.
Just keep the drive going.
He's not been a gaudy quarterback number guy anyway all season. The only time he had kind of big numbers was when he had the Hail Mary against the Bears.
Yeah. But I do agree. Terry has to be a huge part of the game plan from the outset.
He's just a huge emotional lift.
Can't wait until the third or fourth quarter to be like, oh, let's get our best wide receiver the ball finally.
Right.
We'll be talking about it throughout the show on a Football Friday here on The Fan. Right now, going to hook up caller number 10 with two tickets to go see Rod Stewart, One Last Time Tour, Saturday, July 19th at Merriweather Post Pavilion. You've won tickets before, you can buy them. Tickets are on sale this Friday, November 22nd. That's today at 10 a.m. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com/events. Just be caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Later in the program, we got John Feinstein for Friday's Feinstein. He jumps on at 8. Scott Abraham from ABC7 joins us at 9. And we have our touchdown parlay at 7:45, all right here on the Junkies.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket, and if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. Remember, holiday season, we got a merch shop. The Fan's merch shop open for your holiday shopping. Go to 1067thefanshop.com. Huge selection of men's and women's shirts and hoodies, coffee mugs, and more. I told you when I had my appearance last week, guy had the Hail Mary shirt. I think that one's popular.
Very good.
A lot of good shirts there. You can get some Junkies gear. Order now for holiday delivery. The perfect gift is at 1067thefanshop.com. That is how you get to the merch shop.
They have some good stuff in there, too, honestly.
Get those Christmas and holiday gifts.
And I've said multiple times that I think all the junk should have all the shirts. We're like a perfect marketing vehicle.
We are walking billboards.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of crazy.
Definitely.
So yesterday we got the specific news on Alex Ovechkin's injury. After some speculation for a couple of days, we find out he has a fractured left fibula and is out 4 to 6 weeks.
I think we kind of get credit for breaking that, like, as a show. I think we were the first ones to really kind of go hard and say that.
Yeah, I mean, you had a source.
I know, Dravy had a source. I think
guys had multiple sources.
A lot of people had sources.
I mean, we threw it out as a possibility, also threw out the MCL possibility.
MCL is what I thought originally. But then somebody told me, you know, basically, wink, wink, broken fibula or tibia. I still don't know the difference. I think the fibula is like a smaller.
I could look it up. I don't know.
I looked it up. I think if it's the right one, it's the smaller one.
I think the tibia is like your shin bone, and then the fibula is the one that kind of like loops around.
The fibula is the one on the outer portion of the leg.
Right. Yeah.
It's the skinnier one. The tibia is the fatter interior bone.
It supposedly it has to do whether or not you need surgery or not, it has to be with like how the break is. So I think he's got the better version of whatever the break could be, whether it's like jagged or if it's, you know, up and down or however the hell it is. So I mean, all in all, it's, I guess, good news. But the bad news is, you know, listen, this guy's a force. I would never bet against him, but they're saying 4 to 6. So that means like,
and they're going to miss him on ice.
15 to 20 some games.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's
a lot of games.
Big chunk of the season.
He's the team captain.
That's a quarter of the season.
He's their leading goal scorer. He's number two in points. He's first in shots. He's second in hits.
He's second in hits, though?
Yes. Four power play goals.
He's so physical. I think all time in hits in the league, in league history, I want to say he's top four.
So
might be top three.
So he has 868 goals, needs 27 to pass Gretzky. So it looks like he's going to miss between 13 and 19 games.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd have 45 to 51 games left in the regular season thereafter.
I had a buddy tell me the other night at dinner that he did an event with Ovi, and it was like, or he had won some like meet and greet with Ovi. And so he spent like 20 minutes with him, whatever, and like some other people. He said it was very quiet. And he was a little surprised he wasn't as tall as he had imagined. So I don't know what he is, maybe 6 foot.
I think he's listed as 6'2".
Okay. But yeah, I guess he imagined, you know, like a freaking, you know, robot, right? At like 60. He said, but then he took a picture with him and he put his arm around him and he was like, oh my God, this guy's a tank.
He's a big dude. He's a thick dude.
It's like all muscle, just a tank.
Yeah, could you imagine that guy crunching you into the boards?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it sucks. But they, you know, the good news is they're for real. This is a for real team.
But maybe they need him. Last night they played the Colorado Avalanche, who they beat 5-2 a little over a week ago.
Yeah.
Right? Played them on the road.
Yep.
Beat them 5-2. They lose 2-1 in a game which feels a lot like the games last year when they were struggling to find offense.
But I mean, it feels like a classic letdown spot after coming back off a road trip. You lose the heart and soul of your team, and you know that he's not going to be on the ice for at least a month. I can understand them being a little bit flat in that game last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to take them a little while to figure out who's going to step in and pick up some of this slack, right? But they're getting good goaltending from both guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems like the pieces, the moves they made in the offseason, they got plenty of guys. I mean, maybe Stromer's going to pick it up with some of the scoring. He's done a great job with the assists.
Some of his points are now going to have to shift away from assists to becoming more of a goal scorer like he was last year.
Right. But it is a shock to the system, not only for the fans. Tom Wilson talked about it. He says, this is weird. Like, it's unbelievable that he's actually hurt. It's one of those things like, he's going to miss games? He says, it's new to me. He doesn't go out there and just coast around. He's played for 20 years, every shift, running guys over, you know? And he says he's sure he'll be back stronger than ever and flying around soon, but they're just not used to it.
Cakes, you finally tweeted the it's not your fault.
I did, yes.
From Goodwill Hunting.
Yeah, deflected, though.
I'm sorry?
You deflected. You blamed a Russian machine ever breaks.
I did take an opportunity.
I thought an unfair shot.
it's unfair.
It's classic.
Hey, when you get backed into a corner, you got to come out swinging.
And classic deflection.
How many people came after you?
Oh, I mean, it was a small but vocal minority. Like John DePapa,
right.
Drab t-shirt. He threw his hat in the ring as well.
Yeah. Drab was pummeling you.
There were definitely people in the mix.
Well, I just can't let Cakes snake his way out of this. And he's going to, and he's going to get the face, and everyone's going to feel bad
because
we like Cakes, and he's such a lovable guy, and we don't want to hurt his feelings, but he did this. And everyone needs to accept it, and so does Cakes.
I have no culpability whatsoever.
It will go on his career tombstone.
I take responsibility.
Would you say, as far as this show's concerned, maybe any show here in town, he's the greatest mush in D.C.?
1,000%.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing to say otherwise.
Should I say something about Jaden Daniels this weekend?
And he already did. And if I was a Commanders fan, I'd be very concerned.
What did he say?
Because he guaranteed the win.
Yeah. I know.
Guaranteed.
In a pretty dominating fashion. He's got that Tommy DeVito vibe going.
Ovi never gets injured.
Yeah. Dude, here's a stat. I saw that. I mean, it's incredible. If it's true, did you guys see it? The coincidence.
Yeah.
I've had 10 unbelievable that on the 18th, Theismann broke his leg. Alex Smith broke his leg on the 18th. And Ovi breaks his leg on November 18th.
Has it been fact-checked?
You know what those all are?
I mean, that could be fake news. But it was enough to jar me.
Hey, didn't Cakes also basically say the Caps were a corpse in the Potomac?
When they were down 2-0 in 2019.
I was banking on their.
But that's good. We got the reverse mojo.
I'm just saying there's a lot of evidence.
Remember when he said he wanted pictures of all the loser Panther fans in the crowd? And then the Panthers came storming back and beat the Caps?
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, that was fun. That was a fun time.
I know what we're doing on November 18th, 2025. We're gonna we're gonna break Cakes' legs.
All I know is I absolve myself of any sort of responsibility and or culpability. If you want to blame somebody, blame Jack. Is it Jack McMahon, the guy who skated through recklessly and clipped Ovi's knee? Please blame him. Right. Don't blame me because I said something into the microphone. And it just happened to be a little bit of bad timing.
Now, his injury, not as bad as Joe Theismann or Alex Smith.
Well, of course not. I mean, those were career enders.
Basically. Eventually definitely led to different. Alex Smith's career endings prematurely. And certainly ended Joe's.
And I did fact check. It does look like it did happen on those dates.
I do apologize. I believe it's Ian Oland who runs Russian Machine. Sometimes breaks. RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com.
Yeah.
He did catch a stray.
Did he reach out to you?
No. But he's a very nice guy. And he does good work on his blog.
Yeah, but I did see that you were backed in a corner and you threw him under the bus.
Because my guy Doug McKinney came to my defense, which is not a popular thing to do.
Yeah,
the last few days.
What did Doug say?
I can tell you that. He just pointed out that, you know, RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com has been the name of that dude's blog forever. So he's been tempting fate for a long time.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the track record
understood
of the magic touch that you have.
That's fine.
I mean, yeah. It is remarkable that when Cakes is supremely confident of something, it goes the other way.
I can't help that I have a cosmic effect on the universe, things work.
It might be a historic Cakes run if the Cowboys upset the Commanders.
That is true. It's a good point.
Like, it might be historic.
We might have to dunk him or something. Like, we have to do something.
He doesn't like the one-way punishment anymore, but he brought this up on himself.
He did.
Really didn't. But that's fine. You guys want to think that. That's
some
fine.
Some sort of humiliation ritual.
Let me just say this. Let me make this crystal clear. I will serve no punishment whatsoever if the Commanders lose. Zero.
I love that you're wrestling. Okay.
You know, we need to find a gypsy. we need to find a gypsy to reverse the curse.
To counter it.
Yeah.
Reverse mojo it. I don't know. I don't know what we can
do. That's fine.
Maybe
could we
get somebody to come in here?
You want to find a voodoo witch doctor? That's cool. Well, but I'm not sitting in a dunk tank in 40-degree weather just because.
What could have been worse? It could have been worse. He could have torn his Achilles, been out for the season. He's going to be back and still might even break the record this year.
It's going to take an incredible run. What do they call that when an exorcist or somebody, when somebody comes in and they exorcise the demons or
it's an exorcism.
Yeah, an exorcism.
So we do that with Kate? But that's like supposed to be a positive thing, right?
No, but
because you get the demons out. Mm, is that what an exorcist is?
Yeah, but I wouldn't call it he's possessed by a demon.
But it's kind of
just
like,
he's got
bad mojo. We need someone to come in here and get the bad mojo in.
Like a shaman.
He's
a gypsy.
He's just a black clown.
Mm-hmm. Like a spiritual new age healer.
Now, the thing is, he's got wonderful kids, beautiful wife, nice family. Everything's good there.
Oh, no. He's lucky in life, unlucky in predictions.
He's the worst predictor ever.
Now what I'm going to have to do is go back and pull receipts on everybody else in this room with their predictions and just shove them in your face.
It
faces.
Just feels like your track record's worse.
I know you won't do that work.
It might be.
It just feels
I'm probably not going to do that work.
Hey, I mean, you're probably the most right on the Commanders.
Immediate boomerang back in your face stuff.
You're most right on the Commanders with record prediction.
I mean, at least for this year. I'm the only one that hasn't been double-digit wins.
I mean, they haven't gotten there yet.
No, but they're trending that direction.
And don't jinx it over there.
I could guarantee double-digit wins. Then people get really upset.
No. It's got to be organic.
Yeah, it has
that's
to be.
What
yeah,
we've, that's
be
what we've learned from this, is that you kind of have to listen for Cakes being bombastic about something.
Yeah, that Ovi thing just came out of the ether.
Yeah, you can't put a gun to his head and say, make a prediction. It has to be natural.
That's not the way it works.
Well... We kind of did, when we had Always Bet Against Cakes, the website up, we would ask him, though, it just had to be your gut. Your biggest tingle of the day.
I still get those. Still get them.
Should we bring it back? Can anybody revive
the
site?
Put the paddles to it.
AlwaysBetAgainstCakes.com.
Do we have that IP?
Could someone secure that?
That probably looks so simplistic.
Remember when we were doing the weekend parlay and somebody was secretly keeping track of Cakes and you missed like 18 straight picks?
That's not true.
Yes.
Yeah, we went through it.
Yeah, like, worse than like me who does zero prep for that?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
To push back, I think my record in the touchdown parlay is pretty good, at least this season.
All right. Okay.
It's pretty solid.
You think?
Again, I know that Anthony Richards has scored this past week, and I picked him. So that's what I'm going off
right.
of. Right. Hubbard's been
I think
good
I've been on
too.
A cold spell, for sure. A
couple other stories. We mentioned the Thursday night football game. Did you guys notice the sound on Amazon? There was like a banging of a pan or something they couldn't get rid of. It was annoying.
It was a fan.
Did any of you guys notice that?
Yeah, of course. It was going the whole game. It was, I think, a garbage trash can.
Oh, somebody in the stands was banging? It just got...
It sounded like multiple people. But there's nothing they could do. I mean, can't be mad at Amazon. Or Al Michaels even talked about it.
Right.
Yeah. He was so annoyed by it.
If you have mics all over the field, it's going to catch that noise. Yeah.
I think there was speculation that there was a fence or something, and they were rattling the fence. I don't know.
Some of those fans are legitimately insane. I mean, it's windy, cold, snowy. just such raw weather. These dudes are.
And they're 2-8.
They're 2-8, and these Cleveland fans are freaking shirtless, pounding beers in a blizzard. I would never in a million
That's a
years
different
do
level
that.
Of fandom. You wouldn't see that here. I'm sorry. Level. You don't see that here.
That is intense. Mm. I mean, that's like if your team has a flip-flop record, you're 8-2 and you're into it, then maybe you're 2-8 and it's the Browns.
They're committed to the bit.
Those are some serious diehards there.
So the Browns stun the Steelers. They win 24-19. Jameis Winston leads them on a game-winning drive. Like I said, to me, the 4th-and-2 was a huge, huge play. And, well, they opted not to go 4th-and-2, and they opted to take the penalty, made it a 3rd-and-7. Browns convert it, then they ultimately score the touchdown. There was also something interesting, man. George Pickens, I noticed this when they played Washington.
Yeah.
That guy's a hothead.
He's a remarkably...
He seems like he's got issues all the time.
He is probably the most immature wide receiver and diva wide receiver in the league. And wide receivers have a reputation for diva-like behavior, but he's like off the charts. Like, I think it was, maybe it was the Commanders game or one of their recent games where he got pushed out of bounds, like 4 yards short of a first down, and he starts doing the first down celebration as he's going out of bounds. Like, well, he's jawing at everybody. He's getting tangled up with guys in piles.
That happened in the Commanders
and
game.
And looking at him. It's ridiculous.
He had a wrestling match in the Commanders game. I can't remember which corner was on him at the time.
Yeah.
But there was an incident. And then last night, did you see the Hail Mary at the end of the game?
I did not.
So Russell Wilson got them in position to, I don't know, about the 35-yard line or so. So it wasn't even that far of a Hail Mary. But it's the last play of the game. They need a touchdown to win the game.
Yeah.
So Russell Wilson launches up a moonball. Well, Pickens was out of the end zone.
Right.
Now, that might have been on the defensive back, whatever. They got in like a wrestling match. And then the game's over. The Cleveland Browns are able to, you know, bat the ball down. Game's over. And George Pickens is in the stands. And they're having to, like, separate him. Yeah. He's basically getting in a fight. After the game, he blamed the loss on conditions and the referees. He was saying he was interfered with on one, which I didn't think there was pass interference.
Didn't he also say the Cleveland Browns aren't that good of a team? Like, yes. He's just killing them in the post game. Like, he does not seem like a Mike Tomlin type of guy. Like, that's a weird, like, how does he coexist with him? But
then talent. Again,
he coexisted with Antonio Brown for many years, too. And he's a full-on wackadoo as well.
So the corner that got into it with him after the game called George Pickens a fake tough guy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Probably accurate. Evie, you're going to love this news. Jason Kelce will begin hosting a late-night show on ESPN starting January 3rd.
I thought Jelly Roll was overexposed. Well, that's... I am over the Kelce's.
I don't really have animosity towards the Kelce's, but if it's has late night show in front of it, I won't consume it.
It's going to be a 1-hour show. They're going to tape 5 straight Friday nights beginning January 3rd.
Yeah, good luck.
So really, it's the last season. It's the end of the regular season, end of the playoffs leading up to the Super Bowl. Good I don't luck. Know if it goes beyond that.
Good luck to them.
And it's called, what's it called? They call it Late Night with Jason Kelce.
Yeah, I'll never, ever watch that show. I just won't.
800-636-1067 is the number. We're the Junkies, coming right back. Welcome back. Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. We'll hit the Skins coming up at 7 o'clock at our touchdown parlay at 7:45. We got to get back on track with that touchdown parlay because we hit a couple early in the season.
Need to hit it.
Been on a cold streak.
I don't know who I'm targeting yet. I got to look at the slate. Got to figure out who's going to plunge into the end zone.
Hey, but you got Anthony Richardson last week, so hopefully we can get it together and get back on the winning track. But you know what? I told you, I see my guy from Potbelly every now and then, and he rides with us every week on the parlay.
Yeah.
If you hit 2 and you're not splitting it 7 ways, you're up for the year.
Oh, yeah.
You're up for the year big time.
Yeah, you're riding high.
So
I
understand you want to hit every week.
Yeah.
But if you hit it twice already during the season, you're up. You know who's not up? The New York Jets. They stink. They stink beyond belief.
At least they're on a bye this week. They don't have to
Let me see what I had.
Brutalized by somebody this week.
I, I hope I didn't have him in the AFC Championship in our preseason.
That's
going to
hurt if you did.
Crab kickoff. I know I had them. I had them winning the division, and I had them in the AFC Championship.
Ooh, yeah, it's not. Ooh. You're going to be coming out of pocket for that one.
Was buying into Robert's Law and that great defense. Mm-hmm. Put Aaron Rodgers in there instead of Zach Wilson and the other quarterbacks they've had. And logic was like, oh, they're going to be pretty good. They'll be competitive. They're going to be a playoff team. Yeah, well, they're dreadful.
I mean, I'm an insane person, too. I picked them to win the AFC East in my playoff predictions as well.
Right.
Have the Bills as a wild card.
It was conventional wisdom. Right.
I know.
Conventional wisdom was they were going to be good with Aaron Rodgers. Because they had a good defense.
Well, they did have a good defense at one point, and now everybody just abuses that defense.
And conventional wisdom was looking at Aaron Rodgers with Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall and some of the weapons they have and some of the players they have on defense like Sauce Gardner and the talent they had and thought that they would be a contender. Not. It's an absolute disaster.
Salah gets fired. Their GM got fired this week. I mean, so they have unraveling.
Right. They've got the interim head coach, got an interim GM, but people are wondering who's going to come in long term. A couple names have been thrown about that apparently do have some ties to the Jets. John Gruden's name, prominent name. I know he just signed a deal with Barstool Sports.
Well, I'm sure his deal has it out. If he gets gets an offer from an NFL team, he can just ditch that Barstool gig with the quickness.
Could John Gruden find himself back in the NFL, and would he coach the Jets when the Jets want him to coach?
Who's throwing out his name, though? Like, where are you seeing that rumor?
It's been attached to him for a couple weeks. Gronk yesterday was on with Kay Adams, or this week. He was also saying that Gruden would make a good coach for the Jets.
Has Gruden been able to get over the whole issue that
no,
got
he's
him
suing
canned.
The NFL, but
he's losing all those like steps in court. I keep seeing,
but he would have to. I'm assuming
drop it
or
yeah. I think he lost the most recent sort of court ruling.
Would he even be a good fit? Like his stint with the Raiders, I get it didn't last that long, but I don't think it was overly successful. What was his record with the Raiders?
Oh, it wasn't good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if it was horrible. I'd have to look it up.
Well, remember, they gave him, what, they gave him like a 10-year, $100 million deal or something?
Yes, they gave him a fat deal.
Right. He should probably just stick to the media. He's funny.
22-31 with the Raiders.
Yeah, if I'm the Jets, I'm
in a little more than three seasons. So he started off 4-12, then he got him to 7-9, then he got him to 8-8. So you're thinking, okay. And then they started off 3-2, and then he had to resign.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they were headed in the right direction. I mean, it took four years.
I believe Valdez has the audio of Gronk talking about the possible interest from the Jets on Gruden.
If you could pick, not team even, if you could pick which coach in the NFL you think would work best with Aaron Rodgers, who's that coach?
I would say John Gruden. John Gruden would be a good choice.
So John Gruden potentially could come in and take over the Jets.
If you brings that passion.
If you get this right.
Loves the game of football, just loves the energy that football brings, you know, to the table. John Gruden loves nice, solid quarterback. He definitely does, no doubt about it. And that would be the fit. I would like to see that happen. That's how Aaron Rodgers stays with the Jets. He has to have a GM and a head coach that comes in, you're right, with what you just said, that wants Aaron Rodgers as well.
So that's just Gronk really offering.
He's kind of a big stupid. Yeah, I don't know how much.
His voice always makes you sound.
Credence I put into that. Yeah.
His voice doesn't do him a service. He just has that affect where you think he sounds like a big dummy. But that's just opinion. That's throwing a name out there.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. They have to hire a GM, and that guy's going to hire the head coach.
Unless they go the Snyder-Rivera way.
Or Woody Johnson, who's a weird owner, could just say, I'm going to hire the new coach, and then I'll hire a GM, which is, you know what? If you're in the AFC East and root for those other teams that aren't the Jets, you love if Woody Johnson is meddling and making the decisions.
Jets haven't made the playoffs since Rex Ryan was the head coach and Mike Tannenbaum was the GM. They reached back-to-back AFC championship games. Here's what Rex Ryan said should happen.
I look at it this way. Blow it up. We're going to blow the opponents up. There's way too much talent on this team to play the way we've been playing, period. And how hard can you get a guy to play? That's the thing. Like, nobody's seen a team going to play the way as hard as this team's going to play in the future. Trust me, if I'm the guy. Trust me. And that's going to be it. That's what's going to separate me from all these other guys you're going to bring in. You know, your Grudens, your whoever, whatever. Give me a break. They ain't New York Jets. I'm all about the Jets. And the great thing is, all right, yeah, second chance. You get a second chance at it and things like that. Doesn't happen very often. Yeah, well, when it does, it's usually special. And so we'll find out if I get that chance or not. If not, then, you know, hope they have one hell of a guy in place, because I still want to be a fan of the Jets. I still want to be. But, you know, when I look around, I know nobody's better than me.
This is from Albert Breer. This is from yesterday. Wild. And this is why the Jets, they're not going to hire a really quality head coach and or general manager. This is exactly why. At Albert Breer yesterday, there are people who've worked there who feel like what's said on the internet influences decision making. Non-football people have big voices. Mm-hmm. Those who have tried to change it run into this stuff constantly.
Mm.
So like if you are say you're Ben Johnson, are you even going to take an interview with the New York Jets with an old broken down quarterback in Aaron Rodgers? No, you're going to kind of laugh at them and look at some of your other options first, I would think.
People often go to places where you don't expect them to go. Think about Mike Shanahan, who had amazing coaching chops, and people probably said, why would Mike Shanahan go to work for Dan Snyder?
Got overpaid.
Right.
Got overpaid.
That's answer.
Maybe that happens, but guys with real options and real pedigrees are going to have the Jets way down on that list if they know that they've got buffoons that have influence and power that are going to make decisions that affect their careers.
Maybe, but maybe they go for their interview and they get a big offer and they say, I can make a difference. I can work with Sauce Gardner. I can work with Breece Hall. I can work with Garrett Wilson and the pieces that they have in place, which is probably more attractive talent-wise than some of the other spots.
Yeah. Could be, but it sounds like there are a lot of internal hurdles to deal with if you are the coach or the GM for the Jets.
I for one, would love to see Rex Ryan coach the Jets. Just saying.
Rex Ryan was 9-7 his first season with the Jets, 11-5 his second season. Both times made it to the AFC Championship game with Mark Sanchez, lost to the Colts in one of them. I think the Colts went on to win the Super Bowl that year and then lost to the Steelers in the AFC Championship in 2010. But then he didn't have better than a 500 season with the Jets. His next 4 years, 8-8.
Wins. It's about leading the league and wins.
6-10, 8-8, and 4-12. So he was dismissed after 4-12. Then he got a shot with Buffalo for two seasons, 8-8 and 7-8, fired. So his career record is actually sub-500 as a head coach in the league.
It's still.
He had trash quarterbacks the entire time. I could tell he was getting fired up listening to that.
He's just got that kind of mojo that I like. I like characters.
He's a great motivator.
He's a great motivator, great character. He's great at the podium. He's a little unfiltered.
He likes feet.
He loves feet. He's big into feet. He's probably a swinger. I'm big into him.
His teeth, it just tilt me, though.
Does he still have terrible teeth?
He's got the big
choppers.
Fake,
yeah, he's got the, Gary Delabates.
Yeah, he's got the Delabates.
They're veneers, and they're so overdone.
He went big. Right. But big on
I mean, I think the chances of them hiring him are zero.
Yeah.
But just for the record, if they did, it would be amazing. I also would like to see him hire John Gruden, another guy that I get a kick out of.
I've seen reports are going to be as many as 8 openings this offseason, which seems to happen every year.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to be teams, I'm telling you, keep your eye out on the Bengals. Because the Bengals get rid of Taylor, that's going to be a great job for somebody if you inherit Joe Burrow.
Totally.
800-636-1067 is the number. Coming up next on a Football Friday, we'll get into the Commanders matchup with the Dallas Cowboys as we hit the skins.